So throughout the month of October, we've been looking at the topic faith. We've been so blessed by different people that have shared different aspects of the term faith. And as we know, faith is so paramount to our work as children of God, to our work as believers in Jesus. That is, it's through faith that we even come to believe in Jesus in the first instance, when we believe that he died for us and we acknowledge him as the Lord of our lives. And throughout the month, you know, even during the 12 noon prayers, the Friday prayers, the Sunday messages, the Thursday Bible studies, we've been blessed by many amazing men and women that have shared on different aspects of faith. So the question now is for you is, looking at faith, I know different people have shared different aspects. What three? Yes, I won't make you one. What three aspects? Yes. And I'm putting him on the spot. What three aspects of faith would you say has ministered to you? So we're going to do three. Three. You go first and do comment, then I'll go. That way we'll be able to make it interactive.
Okay. Thank you very much for the three questions in one question. Yeah, what are the three things? I would say the first one is looking at faith from the concept of seeing is believing and believing in seeing. I think that was a bit revolutionary as well, because, you know, most times when we talk about Thomas, you know, Thomas wanted to see the evidence that Jesus was risen from the dead. And he made very specific demands. He said, except I see the nail prints, and except I see the slash or the gash in his side, I will not believe. And, you know, my wife was saying something the other day that, you know, Jesus is the healer. He could have been healed of those wounds, but he chose to keep them for some reason, and he still has them till today. You know, and why is it that even in his risen body, which is meant to be immortal, is meant to be a new body, he still had the nail prints in his hands, and he still had the gash or the slash in his side. And, you know, it just so happened that Thomas asked for those two pieces of evidence, and Jesus, you know, retained those two pieces of evidence in his body. So that, for me, was very, very revolutionary. And the second one is the aspect of everything else comes by faith. And I think that one, I learned that one personally in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2 and verse 3. I think those two verses ministered to me very powerfully in this month. And he talks about the fact that by faith, the elders, they obtained a good report. And we're in a time and we're in a season where there's so much flying around, you know, the bulk of it is negative reports. Yeah. You know, reports of what's going on in our lives, you know, this is crashing, this is dying, people are sick, people are that. And that's what we've been, you know, inundated with in the last 1 year, 2 years. Just a cycle of reports. And, you know, even when we listen to them, it makes us depressed. It affects our faith. It affects so many aspects of our lives. And I realized that obtaining a good report in the midst of a negative report is actually by faith. And one thing that the Holy Spirit ministered to me very powerfully was the life of Caleb and Joshua. Because they were also a minority amongst the people that were sent out as spies in their time. And Moses sent them out to spy the land. And, you know, they came back with a report. They said this and this and this. But the Bible records that 10 of them gave a negative report about the land. But only Caleb and Joshua said something good. And God testified that they had a different spirit about them. And it was by faith they were able, because they saw the giants as well. But why was it that they saw the giants as bread, when the 10 saw themselves as grasshoppers? So that it took faith for them to be able to extract that amount of information that is powerful, a good report out of the midst of a negative report. So I think that ministered to me personally. So that's what I gained personally from Then the third thing is the practical aspects of faith. So
yeah,
and the for me the practical aspect is, what is my faith in? Is it in stuff or is it in God? You know, so for me it was just a quick check on, what am I focused on? Am I really focused on God? Am I focused on what I am believing for, in quotes? And you know, one thing that came to my mind and probably maybe really blessed me was that check, to be able to realize that I can examine my faith to see whether it's properly grounded. Is it in the Word of God, or is it that stuff I'm believing for? So those are three things that there's more, but those are the three that.
Wow, thank you so much. Thank you. Such lovely and profound insights you've shared in regards to faith. Yeah, we're still waiting for your comments and questions on Facebook. I'm looking at the comments now, and please feel free to send them to Slido as well, and the link, or rather where you should go to the Slido app, just look for hashtag Love Slido is on the screen as well. Wow, thank you so much for sharing that. And while we wait for people to send in their comments and questions, I will share one or two, depending on when we're able to see comments coming in.
Three.
Fair enough. I'll share three as well. It's really good that we're fair. I'll share three as well. So I will start from the last comment you made about the fact that what's our faith in? It's our faith in God or in stuff. That too really blessed me, because it made, or rather it reinforced for me, the fact that when my faith is in God, the outcome doesn't matter. When my faith is in God, the outcome doesn't matter, which is why we see in Hebrews 11, the Bible says, and some did not receive their dead back to life, but yet they are still categorized as people of faith. And it brings with it a new sense of freedom when the Bible says, and the just shall live by faith. He that comes to God must believe that God is, you know, it takes away the ideologies we human beings have made around faith. You know, I believe in God. You know, one of the examples we learned as well from the message Reverend Song preached was of Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. They said, we know that God is able to, but even if we will not bow to you, their faith was in God, not in the outcome of their faith. And that just changes the whole, you know, the whole, I don't want to use playing field, but that just changes the whole dynamics of our faith. So that was reinforced for me in this season, you know, a great reminder that it's better to die having faith than to live in doubt and disbelief. Because the just shall live by faith. We're not people, God did not create us to be doubters. He created us to be people of faith. Faith in him, not in circumstances, not in situations, not in things around him, but in him. And also within this point, what blessed me or was reinforced for me again is my faith is eternal. It's not just here. I may not live to see the outcomes of my faith here in this realm of, you know, this dispensation we currently are, but I may be long gone from this earth when my days on earth are done, but what I had faith for will come to pass. So my faith transcends time, is eternal. My faith is in God, and it's not dependent on the outcome, because God doesn't change. That's why we can place our faith in him. He is static. Circumstances can be fickle, they can be dynamic, they can change, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's why we can have faith in him. So that was really, really reinforced and enhanced for me as a belief system as well. Before I continue, I'll have some comments on Facebook from Metal Parade. That's a unique name. That's a unique name, but I believe we all know who the amazing Metal Parade is. And he says, and he says, faith comes by what we hear, perceive, by the things we expose ourselves to. Wow, that's powerful. I'll read that again. Faith comes by what we hear, perceive, by the things we expose ourselves to. That is so powerful. And that's linked to what you were sharing, Issa. Do you want to link that to what you were sharing earlier about reports and what Pastor just posted?
Yes, thank you for that as well, because you know, one of the things for me personally, I believe, was, you know, when one of the things we're told from last year, I remember, was the speaker that spoke in January of the previous for the previous year, you know, talked about shutting the door.
Yes.
And I feel like, you know, God is so strategic. You know, He had prepared us for 2021, you know, from time immemorial. But, you know, we can just see in pictures of time. And one of the things He said was shut the door. And, you know, and He was the same person who spoke for January of 2020, who spoke for January of 2021. And He talked about expecting the unexpected. And one of the things He talked about was, what are the things you're focusing on when you're in the ark? What are the things you're looking at? What are the things you're listening to? You know, shut the excesses, shut down the news, shut down this, shut down that. And I just believe that God was using that to prepare us for a period like now, where what are we exposing ourselves to? He talks about a new heart, he talks about a new altar. And you know, God was, as He was you know, shifting our face, you know, face the altar, face the altar, face the altar, you know, the heart, don't face the news, don't face the this, you know. And I believe that has, you know, personally helped me as well, you know, so that what am I filled with, you know, in this season, you know. Thank God for the time we're in the ark. It limited us, but it served another purpose, to have time to focus on the important things. You know, I shared previously that from my own personal experience, one of the things that deepened was my relationship with my wife. Another thing that helped me was to God showing me what He was making me to become as well, so that I now focus on what He's doing inside of me and not what is happening around of me. And I think that has also helped me with, you know, growth personally in that area of faith. And, you know, when I hear things, the first thing I tend to now do by God's grace is to check what has God said about this thing. And thankfully, God has spoken to us about the whole of 2021. So if you want to know what's going to happen in November, you've already written it down in your notes. If you want to know what's going to happen in December, for example, you've already written it down in your notes. So what is left for me is to check what God has said and then just follow what He has said. So yes, that's what I'll say about that.
Wow, powerful. Thank you so much for that, and for the original post of the comments. Thank you, sir. So we have more comments as well. There's another great comment by Matthew Perry, but before we get to that one, there's another comment. I will go through that first and then we'll come back again. And again, please put your comments, your questions on Facebook, and send your comments or questions anonymously to Slido as well. So Beryl says, faith is having total confidence in God. Faith is not believing God for something. Faith is believing and having total confidence in God. Believing in God is what faith is all about. That is powerful. Believing in God, again, linking to what you know, we just discussed earlier, believing in God, not in the outcome, is what faith is all about. And, you know, it's interesting that when we have this understanding, then we've settled in our hearts that God is good, God is kind, God is gracious. Yes, I believe that God can do this. But even when things don't turn out at times the way we would want, that doesn't mean God hasn't answered. You know, and you mentioned something about going back to what has God said about this specific thing, which is a way of aligning our belief system with the word of God, because faith has to be in God. Faith has to be in someone that does not change. So thank you very much for that. More comments coming. There's this other comment as well from our amazing pastor. So my faith must, wow, almost exactly the same thing we just read. My faith must be in God and not in the things I am believing God for. This is the third or fourth time this is coming up again. So I believe this is coming to be ingrained in us as a belief system. Our faith must be in God and not in the things we are believing God for. Because the things change. We don't even know what we want at times. It's not interesting that we look at our lives probably 5 years ago, the things we really wanted or thought we needed are not the same things we want now. So imagine if God went by what we thought we needed. It's the mercy of God at times, you know, not to give us what we think we need or want, because he has seen ahead of us. He gives us the very best. So thank you very much, sir, for that comment. So more comments, please. Any comments on Slido?
Yeah, we've got a few questions on Slido. Which I'll post to you, Ma, and
answer.
So yeah, this is your straight direct arrow. What should I do when I begin to doubt? So that's a question for you, Ma. What should I do when I begin to doubt?
Wow, that's a very good question. When I begin to doubt, I'll say two things that I realized that has helped me last year and this year. What happened? What did you expose yourself to? What did you hear? What did you see before you got into that space of I'm doubting? You know, we're very quick as believers. We find out that we start feeling somehow. So I'll give a scenario. For example, you wake up, you're happy, you had your devotion, the word of God is on your lips, and then probably you go out to buy milk or just you talk to somebody, and then you realize your spirit is down, but you can't pinpoint why you're feeling that way. Instead of just trying to find a remedy, pause. What happened? I'm reminded of Genesis. Who told you you were naked? God asked Adam and Eve. So when you begin to doubt, who told you whatever you're thinking? What did you hear? What did you see? Who said what to you? What should I do when I begin to doubt? That's the first thing. You have to do a self-examination. What did I hear? And for me, I've realized that when I do that, it could be something somebody said in passing that just sowed a seed in me. The person did not even know he or she was doing that. The person just said something and walked away. And it planted a doubtful seed in my heart. Who told you? So when we have the who told you, what did you see, what did you hear, then we can compare it to the word of God, like you said. What has God said to me concerning this situation? The Bible is always there. God is always speaking. we can always find what God is saying about every situation in the Word of God. And then you also have, you know, words that God has spoken to you in alignment with His Word. So first you examine, where did you hear it from? Who told you that? Who told you? Or maybe someone says something, oh, you're not ugly. And then you remember, who told you you were ugly? You know, you examine, and what, you know, where, who is that person? And then what does God say concerning this situation? Because we have to keep the Word of God ever before us. The cosmos, this world is not designed to encourage the Word of God. So we have to, that is how to labor. We labor in the Word of God by keeping the Word of God continually before us, before our face, because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. So we have to continually keep hearing the Word of God to be able to push back on that. No, this was what I heard, but this is what God has said. David and Goliath, this was the reality, but this was what God had said. The example you gave, Caleb and Joshua, this was what they saw, but this was what God had said. So putting that in comparison, we have to keep doing that so that our faith can be in God and not in the circumstances we're seeing or the circumstances that are yet to come.
I just wanted to say a quick few things about this question and what you've said as well.
I was
just reading my Bible, I think today or yesterday, and the write-up around it gave me a new perspective about this faith and doubt, which really blessed me. It talked about doubt and faith being two sides of a coin, and that without doubt, then the concept of faith in certain aspects will not even exist if there was no possibility of doubt. So he saw doubt as an opportunity to also help us to entrench ourselves in faith. If you have doubt, go back to the person who made the promise to ask further questions, and that would help to strengthen faith. So I saw doubt in a new light, that okay, if I'm having doubts, it's just the opportunity to, one, examine, to check, wait, is my faith actually in God or in that thing? Because when it starts to shake, it means it is a possibility that maybe my faith is not really in God. So it makes me go back and really make sure that this thing is entrenched. And the second thing is also realizing that sometimes we think we do have faith, but we don't, you know. So what we just have is feelings. And, you know, when we feel good, like you were saying, then it feels like we're in faith. And when we feel bad, we're not in faith. And we realize that faith has nothing to do with whether you feel good or whether you don't feel good. And that faith is something that's constant. So what it does for us is to also help us to examine where we are anchoring our faith. Is it anchored on how we feel? Or the experience. And a quick example that came to my mind is Peter. You know, when Jesus told him, come, walk on, and he was walking on the water. And he started walking on water. And then what happened is that he saw the wind boisterous. So that means he started to look around. And then he started to sink. So have I, just to buttress what you've said, have I started looking around? Or am I looking on Jesus? I'll finish off. Wow. Just a quick one.
Thank you. So before we take the next question, we have couple of comments on Facebook, so I'm going to quickly read them out. Then the first one is, thank you everyone for your comments and your questions. Please keep them coming. The first one is from the lovely Nkem Ayobamishile. Sister Nkem, the wonderful wife. The wonderful wife of the wonderful Mr. Vams. And she says, thank you for your comment, man. She says, I can testify, bro. Brother Ayo is saying, bro Ayo, let me read you, she receipt. Bro Ayo is saying the truth. So I think from maybe that was in relation to the example you gave about lockdown, I think.
It's possible.
Yes.
I think so.
Thank you so much for that comment.
Thank you very much, Sissy, for that comment as well.
I was going to say something, but we'll continue. The next comment from Monlisi says, faith is not a tool for transacting with God, but a a way of living the life God has called us to in Him.
Wow.
That's really powerful. I'll read that again. Faith is not a tool for transacting with God, but a way of living the life God has called us to in Him. Praise God. For the just shall live by faith. Amen. Then we have another comment. Thank you so much, Monlicians. Thank you for those comments. Then we have another comment from our amazing pastor. He says, when our faith is entirely in God and upon His word, our faith becomes unshakable because God is the same and unchangeable. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much, sir, for that amazing comment. Then we have from Ezekiel Urim, Pastor K. Daddy Adeze. He says,
AKA.
A lot of AKAs on AKAs on this call. And he says, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. By knowing the character of God, I grow in confidence for living by faith. That is powerful. All these comments are just powerful. I grow in confidence for living by faith, by knowing the character of God. And we can only know the character of God when we find out about His character, where He has told us about Himself, and that is in the Bible. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
I wanted to say something as well.
Yes,
a very quick one I just realized as well. You know, this is where we need the help of the Holy Spirit, because a lot of times we think we live by faith, but we don't. Mm-hmm. We just find out that we live by our life experience or things that have been handed down over to us. And I think Reverend Song was challenging us to let us see that. Do we really, really believe God? You know, there's some things that God has said very expressly in His word.
Yeah.
Am I able to stake my life, my reputation? You know, one of the things I tell Cici, I don't know what I should mention. Okay, now I'll talk about it later. But it's like, can I stake, and this is coming off what Dadeze is saying, can I really stake my life, my reputation, my experience on what I have read and studied in God's word? Or because once we're faced with that challenge, then we really can tell whether we live by faith or not. Because one of the things that happens to our faith is that from time to time, it goes through tests to check for genuineness and for purification. So during those times are the times we really, really can say, is my confidence in God? Or maybe all the while, my confidence has been my bank account, you know, my friends, connections, my reputation. So just a quick one to mention that.
Well, thank you very much for that insight, sir. Thank you, sir, Pastor K, for sharing. Then we have comments from the lovely grandma, our lovely grandma. And she says, we need to ensure that we associate with people of faith. So powerful. The Caleb and Joshua example, in order to grow our faith in the Lord, as this will help us to focus on God and not waver in our faith and trust in God. We must ensure that the word of God is our anchor with regards to our faith in God. In Jesus' name, amen. Because iron sharpens iron.
Beef deep.
Wow.
Very deep.
Wonderful. No comment to add. Thank you so much, Grandma, for that.
No addition to that.
God bless you, man. Thank you so much,
yes,
Grandma.
Yes, Grandma level, powerful.
Yes,
word.
Yes. Then Uncle Victor says, Uncle AY, I'm liking that mixing feelings and faith. So he liked the example you gave. Thank you, sir, for your comments. Then we have a lovely brother, Samuel, Daddy Chizim. He says, aligning our faith in God makes us produce the right response or result in the face of opposition. It's like a foam drenched in oil or water. When pressure, is applied, it produces what it is drenched in. So either the oil or water. Wow, God help us. We are not overwhelmed because we know who we are drenched in the word of the Lord. The Lord is helping us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, we've got some questions here. Some questions here as well.
All right.
So a question to you, Ma. Does faith always...
I've chosen Slido.
Lord, thank you for Slido. Does faith always give one hope? So that's a question.
And the question with that would be, hope in who or in what?
Hmm.
Does faith always give one hope? Your faith, and who is the faith in, or what is the faith in? We have to dissect the question because it's a very broad question. Who is the faith in, or what is the faith in? Does it always give one hope? Hope in what, or hope in who? So that's the beginning. If the faith is in God, then I'll say absolutely 100% yes. Does faith always give one hope? 1 Corinthians 13, I think the ending part says, these three abide, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Mm. These three are intricate parts of our work, of us as believers in Jesus. It's in faith that we come to Jesus. God loves us, so loved the world. He gave Jesus. We believe in Jesus through faith. We come to Jesus. And then we go through, we let our faith work through love. But then we also have to be hopeful, because it's the hope that keeps us when we go through circumstances that do not look like what we were believing God for. As you said, circumstances will come to shake our faith. Jesus said, in this life, you have troubles, trials, and tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And then when we have that hope that this is not all that there is on this earth, we have that hope, and hope makes alive. Hope encourages. So we cannot live life without hope. Love, faith, hope, and love. These three, they all work together. So yes, when we have faith in Jesus, faith in God, it gives us hope.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much, man. Three scriptures came to mind as you were just talking and as the question came. The first one is this, one of them is 1 Corinthians 13. One of them is even the definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Wow.
So without hope, then there's really no faith, because they both work together. And then the next one that comes to mind is Abraham as well, in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. It says, who against hope, he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Amen. So this is someone that went through a journey, most of which many people are falling aside. But he said, who against hope, he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. And he's called today the father of faith. So yes, to what you've said, faith would always give one hope. But once the faith is right, obviously the hope will be right. Because if the faith is in God, the hope automatically will be in God as well.
Amen. So praise God. Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
I would do a comment and then you do Slido.
Okay.
Post your questions on Facebook.
Sorry.
So Pastor K says, comment, who told you are naked? That's in reference to Genesis again. Who told me I can't? Who is he that has spoken when God hasn't spoken? Noise versus word. Wow. Linking back to what you said earlier, we have to mind who we're hearing. We have to mind who we expose ourselves to.
Mm.
Yeah, we have to guard our hearts with all diligence. The Bible doesn't just say guard your heart. It says with all diligence. Mm. With all diligence. Thank you very much, sir, for that. God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. And two things come to mind as it came. You know, Jesus warned us specifically. He said we should be careful what we hear. And the second thing is we should be careful how we hear. as well. So it is very important. We are responsible for what we hear. There's something Sister Lady Debs, Mama Noah too, said to us, you know, about the news. What she does personally, I think, bless me, that she reads the news rather than listen to the news. And that helps to put a guard or a control over what enters our system. Because as Metal Parade Pastor said, what we hear will determine what we have faith in. So if faith comes by what I hear, then I have to be careful based on what Jesus has said. What am I hearing? And also, how am I hearing as well? So just a two things I wanted to say there.
Yes. Thank you very much, sir. So another comment from Dr. Uche. He says, thank you, sir, for your comment. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Christ in us. Wow. Linking it to the comment on the question on hope. The hope of glory. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Irrespective of whatever I'm going through, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And hope doesn't make ashamed, because the hope is in Jesus. Christ in us, Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If our faith is in Christ, then we have hope, hallelujah, of fulfillment of God's word as manifested. Wow. Wow, as manifested in Christ Jesus. This is powerful. Jesus had, he believed that God would raise him from the dead. That's why he could go through the pain, even though it was painful. He didn't want to, but there was the hope of glory. He did not consider equality with God a thing, you know, Philippians says, but, you know, he laid down himself because, thank you so much, sir, for that lovely comment.
You know, as you were saying that, another person that believed exactly the same thing is Abraham. Because Abraham, when he was going to sacrifice Isaac, he was so sure that God would raise him from the dead. And it's the same thing that Jesus believed. And, you know, the stories are parallel. It's like, you know, when the son was showing us that because Abraham gave his son, God was also able to give his son. So the same thing happened to them at different times. So that's something I noted as well.
Yeah, praise God. From what you said, please let's read our Bibles from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation. It's all one story. When we begin to not just read it to fulfill our righteousness, but to study it, we begin to see how some of the parallels in the Old Testament are shadows of things fulfilled in the New Testament. And it reinforces our belief and our trust in God, that God, Jesus is who he says he is. Because from Genesis, you can trace him all the way down to Revelation. I pray that the Holy Spirit will give us grace to be students of the Bible, not as a religious, but that the letter, the spirit of the word of God will be ministered to our hearts in Jesus' name.
Amen. So we have comments now in the Slido. So yes, no more pressure on you, ma.
Probably I should quickly take my Facebook then.
Okay, thank you, Azeda.
Close. Thank you so much, everybody, for all the comments and questions. It's been amazing. Then from the amazing and our wonderful pastor again, just blessing us with so much wisdom tonight. What do I hear? How do I hear? Who am I believing? Wow. No comments. These are words that we should all ponder on. I'll read them again. What do I hear? How? Wow. The posture of my heart. How do I hear? Who am I believing? Pray that God will help us. We'll take these questions and allow the Spirit of God brood on them. Thank you so much, sir.
Amen. Thank you very much, sir. So comments from just to God has heard your prayer, ma. The prayer of faith that you prayed. So now you have comments, but a question is coming down the line, just to let you know. Okay. So Hebrews 11:1, someone comments, of the truth, or with reference to that verse, I believe without faith, it is impossible to run our Christian race. Faith should be paramount in all our endeavor.
Praise God. Thank you for that comment.
Yeah. And then the next comment says, faith is to see what God is saying.
Wow.
Faith is to see what God is saying and choose to believe what we see in the Word of God over what we see physically.
Wow. Praise God.
Then, now I have a question. question to you, ma'am. If I have faith in God, does it mean it is not possible for me to be discouraged?
And my question would be, was Jesus discouraged? Did he feel down when he had to die on the cross, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And my question also would be, he was. Mm. Because the Bible says, and angels came and ministered to him afterwards. Jesus is our example. And if we're to truly become like him, then we're going to walk the path he walked. If we are to truly, because he's walking in us, he came to show us a pattern. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible tells us that Jesus, he wept. I'm not sure which of the gospel. It says his sweat was dropping. It was so thick like blood. And he said, God, if you will, take this cup away from me. Paraphrasing that, like, God, I don't want to do this. And he said, but not my will, but yours be done. And the Bible says, and angels came and ministered to him. Some versions say, and angels came and encouraged him. Some versions say, and angels came and strengthened him. Doing things God's way will cost us. That's the truth. But then the glory far outweighs the short-lived suffering we have to go through. And that suffering mostly is suffering to our flesh. Is suffering to our flesh. Laying down one's will were that easy, everybody will all be amazing children of God. Like, everyone will be saved, you know, we'll be walking in the glory, doing everything. But then, because the Spirit of God is constantly working in us, sometimes we submit, we cooperate with the Spirit of God, at times we're struggling. So working with God will cost us. It will cost us our flesh. It will be painful. That's the truth. It will be painful, but the glory far outweighs our present suffering. We read that in the Bible, you know. Even in the New Testament, you find that encouragement that we should not be weary, we should not get discouraged, for the glory far outweighs. And Jesus showed us the example. So if I have faith in God, I may be discouraged, or the discouragement is transient, is fickle. My faith is still in God, the God who does not change, the God who does not lie. That's why it's very important to mind where we put our faith and in whom we put our faith in. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, there's one more question. And before that, I just wanted to say something about this discouragement. And the person that came to my mind was Elijah. Sometimes our discouragement is also a component of the fact that we've used up our faith. And, you know, God needs to build in us capacity. When Elijah got discouraged, it was after one of the greatest displays you can see in the Bible. This man called down fire from heaven. It caused a whole nation to turn back to God. And afterwards, he was discouraged. And it's like a journey. Along the journey, we get tired. So what do? We go back to God. And God fills us again. He says, those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Even Abraham got tired. He got discouraged. He started to help himself. He went back to God. So, yes, even if we have faith, we use the faith. It gets used up. We get tired as we walk in life. And we get discouraged. But we don't stay in discouragement. We go back to our Heavenly Father, who is the God of all encouragement, and he will fill us afresh. And he said, we can fall 7 times, but we get up again and we keep walking. So yes, we can get discouraged, but God is there to sustain us and encourage us. And the Holy Spirit is there. So last question. last question. We run out of time. Can you explain what it means to ask in faith?
To ask in faith.
Yes.
To ask in faith, I would say. it's asking, believing that God is able to do what he has said he will do. And God is who he says he is. Which then means that it is impossible for me to ask in faith if I do not know what God has said in the first place.
Wow. Please, I think you might need to rewind and replay that statement.
To ask in faith is to ask believing that God is who he says he is. God will do what he said he will do. And then it means it is impossible for me to ask in faith if I do not know who God has said he is or what God has said he would do in the first place.
Wow.
Which then goes back to, I have to read the word of God to know what God says he will do and to know who God says he is. And reading the word, not just the letter, but allowing the Spirit of God to bring out those truths to change me. Because the Bible is so powerful that it doesn't only minister to us, it literally changes us. The Bible will change you. Like you look at yourself like, oh my God, I can't recognize myself. Is this me? The Bible, I promise you, I'm not lying. The Bible will change your life when you read it and allow the Spirit of that book to change you from the inside out. So that's in God. It goes back to faith in God, believing that. So I can't ask in faith of what God hasn't said he is, or who he hasn't said he is, or what he hasn't said he's going to provide. God will help us. God will help us that even lies or deceptions that we've held on to for years, that the Spirit of God, by his power, will begin to dispel those deceptions, those lies, even if they sound good and innocent, that God will help us that we'll not live in deception, we'll not believe in deception, but that the truth of the word of God will be our anchor in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
I think there are two more comments.
On Facebook. Okay, so I'll quickly read them, then we'll pray quickly and we'll bring Pastor up, if that's okay. Yeah. Dr. Uche says, faith in God doesn't make you Superman or woman. Just means you trust a super God. Praise God.
Praise God.
We can get discouraged, but we should not stay discouraged. Yep. We shouldn't stay discouraged. Then there's also another comment. Oh, that's from you. How did you type that? To ask in faith is to ask believing God and who he is and his capabilities. We can only ask in faith when we know who he is and what he has said. Praise God. Thank you so much, sir, for that word. Then there is Grandma also posted as well, saying, if it is only in this world, linking to the whole question as well, powerful. If it is only in this world we have hope, we as Christians, the Bible is amazing. We as Christians, I can't remember where that is found, but that's in the Bible. We as Christians are of all men most miserable, according to Apostle Paul. Yes. So our hope is eternal and not in this world, but in the world to come, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so
much, Ma, for that amazing encouragement. Then Pastor K. Dadaizi said, Jesus wept. So linking to the comment on, I think, the discouragement we made earlier. Jesus wept, not cried. Selah, ponder and think on, there's a difference between weeping and crying. So if you feel discouraged, I often say, not jokingly, I believe crying is therapeutic. Cry before God. Not just cry, weep before God. Who else are you going to weep before? You know, ugly cry and all. Just weep before God. And no, I love the scripture that says, and David cried. He cried. And then he encouraged himself in the Lord. So please, feel free to cry. But after that, encourage yourself in the Lord. Thank Amen. You so much.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you very much. Thank you.